We're going to be looking in Proverbs this morning. We're just going to read some verses to do with friendship from Proverbs. So Proverbs 17, verse 17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for time of adversity. And in chapter 18, that's the next chapter, verse 24. One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. We just pray before Johnny comes to speak to us. Father, we thank you for these readings from your word. We thank you that you have helped us to become friends with other people. And we just hope that what Johnny has to say to us today will mean something for everybody who's in this room. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. If we've not met before, my name is Johnny. I'm one of the elders here at Christchurch Huntingdon, and it's a real pleasure to be able to kind of meet together and be able to look at what God's word has to say, and particularly Proverbs have to say. Now, I think that means this lovely little picture has come up behind me already. Actually, I don't need that. Does anyone recognise the most handsome person in that photo? Does anyone recognise any of the people in there? It is, yeah, a beardless, much younger looking me with a couple of my dearest and oldest friends. So this guy on the left here, your left, yep, is Jeremy, and this guy on the right is Ben, and they are my dearest and oldest friends. I love both of them so much that I couldn't choose between them when Katie and I got married, so they were both my best men. We'd like to think that we were amazing at music when we were young, and we were in a band together, and did quite a few bits and bobs, and we thought we were going to tour the world. That never happened. Sometimes I blame Katie for that, but, you know, that's fine. But these are my dearest and my oldest friends. This is us a couple of years ago when we went on holiday together, slightly less fresh-faced. You can see a tiny little nervous-looking Jessica in the background, wondering if I'm going to drop her or not. And so that's what we're looking at today. I just wanted to flag them because actually, isn't friendship, when it's meaningful, when it's deep, when it's lasting, it can be a real blessing. And I found that Ben and Jeremy over the years have been a tremendous blessing to me, and I praise God for them. But we're going to look through various things, positives, maybe some negatives, some warnings that our loving Heavenly Father gives us as we look through the theme of friendship today. So we're going to look at just how great friendship can be. What a blessing, what a brilliant thing it can be. Children at school, the friends that you have can be just superb. But we're also going to look at our Heavenly Father's loving warning that they can be dangerous. We do need to be careful with who we choose to be our friends. We're then going to look at the wonderful thing that Jesus, the creator of all, the sustainer of all things, is also friend of sinners, our friend. And then we're going to spend a bit of time thinking through together what we're like as friends, areas that we might want to bring to the Lord where we want to give thanks, or we want to say sorry, or we want to improve our friendships with other people. So that's what we're aiming for today as we all stay together as church family looking through. But as we've been looking at the Proverbs, we've been saying as well, we want to hear Jesus shining through the Proverbs as well. And so I thought we'd start our time together by learning a memory verse, that verse that we saw at the beginning. That Jesus said in the Gospel of John, to lay down your life for your friends. So, kids, do you want to come up the front? We're going to see if we can learn some actions. Adults, maybe you stay seated for a moment. We're going to see if we can learn this memory verse. Katie and Jessica are going to show you the actions, and then we're going to have a go at going through it all together.
John chapter 15 in verse 12, Jesus says, my command is this, to love each other as I've loved you. In John chapter 15 in verse 13, Jesus says, says, there's no greater love than this, to lay down your life for your friends.
Okay, let's do it again so we get it stuck in our heads.
In John chapter 15, in verse 12, Jesus says, my command is this, to love each other as I've loved you. In John chapter 15, in verse 13, Jesus says, there's no greater love than this, to lay down your life for your friends.
Okay, kids, do you want to give yourselves a round of applause? Well done. We're going to have another go at that later, so hopefully we'll be leaving this place with those wonderful words of Jesus ringing in our ears. So let's start with how the Proverbs tell us that friendship can be great. Proverbs 27 says this: perfume and incense bring great joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice. Got me wondering about some of these. These are things that I love the smell of, that give me that comfort, that joy, that loveliness. Kids, you can tell the adults around you, otherwise adults have a chat around you. What gives you that sense? If you get a smell, mine's probably, is there a bacon sarnie on there? Yeah, perfect. Turn to the people next to you. What smells just make you go, oh, that's just delightful. It's comforting. It's warm. Yeah, a couple people shout things out. George, what do you like? We've got... Oh, perfect. What you got, boys? Campfire, okay. Right, so I think I've heard a few things. Anyone else go for hot chocolate? That smell, that you just love it, gives you a bit of scent. Or sitting around the campfire, those kind of slightly woodeny, burny smells, they're just lovely. Well, actually, the Bible says that a good friendship is something that smells sweet to us, brings us that comfort, brings us that kind of joy. And did you see that in that verse, if I go to the one before? Because of the heartfelt advice that people are going to offer us, our dear friends can offer us, that comfort of knowing there are people that we can talk to, there are people that will listen to us, there are people out there who want to give us advice for our good rather than for our harm. Having good Christian friends is great, because actually, you know there are going to be people who want to point you to what the Bible says, to what God says, to what the Word says, rather than the worldly advice around us, so that we might become people that are more God-honoring, that we're more Jesus-like in our attitudes and our actions. That's why it's so sweet. That verse says it's so sweet. Do you see there? It's a sweet thing. It's a precious thing. It's a wonderful thing to have friends who will point you to Jesus. So children, remember this. Did you know that good friends, the reason we call it sweet, the reason we call it precious, the reason we call it comforting, is because they're going to point us to Jesus, and that is a precious thing indeed. And we've also seen in Proverbs, I think there's the next verse up there, wonderful friendships can be just marvelous. They can be just great. Proverbs 17:17 says this: a friend loves at all times. A brother is born in a time of adversity. Kids, that's just a fancy way of saying really difficult times. If you're going through something tough, maybe you're feeling down for quite a while. That's what we mean by adversity, something really tough. Put your hand up if you've seen Frozen. Yeah, if you're anything like my household, we haven't just seen it. We've seen it 1,001 times and a few more times on top of that. Well, towards the end of the first film, there's this very sweet, endearing moment between Anna... you can see here, she's got her heart frozen and she needs some warmth to keep her going. And this is Olaf up here, a talking snowman who's there to help her out. And as you can see, he lights a fire for her, but obviously he's a snowman, so he starts melting. He has put himself in danger for the sake of his friend. It's quite sweet. I won't do an impression, but it goes like this. Anna says, Olaf, you're melting.
And his response is, some people are worth melting for. And everyone has that gooey moment, and it's all very lovely. But there's a lovely heart behind that, isn't it? Isn't it a beautiful image of friendship? Someone who's there in that time of adversity, that time of when someone's going through something really tough and really difficult, maybe when someone's experiencing something really sad, that actually someone's going to stick by them. Olaf hasn't just said to Anna, do you know what, I'll be your friend when we play the games that I want to play. Or isn't just saying to Anna, I'll be your friend when you're smiling and joking and laughing. Or I'm only going to be your friend when we watch the videos that I want to watch together. No, he's saying, when you're having a great time and when you're having a really difficult time, I will be your friend. So we should say, well done, Olaf. He gets it right on this front. That's superb. And God says, do you know what? That's exactly how I designed friendship to be. Good friends are there for you when you're on the top of the world, but they're there also for you when you're going through adversity, when you're going through stuff that is really, really tricky. So shouldn't we praise God that he's designed friendship to be like this? Perhaps adults, there might be some of us in the room that's actually quite a tricky thing to hear, that actually it might feel like your friends have treated you badly, or not listen to you, or not stuck by you in times of adversity. That might be something that weighs heavy on you. If that's you, and you would value prayer on that, there'll be people around at the end, I'll be here at the front, there'll be others around, come and pray about it. It might be something that you would just value chatting about with somebody. Or it might be that you're thinking, do you know what, I don't have any friends like that kind of stick by me, and I would love to get to know some people more. Again, come and have a chat. We'd love to get you involved in life groups and getting to know more people here at our church family so that we can develop and build these friendships that are meaningful and lasting and that sweet aroma to you that we've been looking at. So please don't leave this place without coming and having some prayer if that's something that you would find valuable. But as a starting point, just like we've seen Olaf here with Anna, Proverbs points us to the fact that God made friendships to bless us, to be a good thing for us. It's wonderful. Friendships can be great. But we've also seen that just as friendships can be great, there are proverbs that tell us that friendships can be dangerous. There are a few proverbs that warn us about friendships. Proverbs 13:20 says this, walk with the wise and become wise. Shall I have a little look through? Proverbs 22:24 says this, do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate, do not have anything to do with someone who is easily angered, or you might learn their ways and become ensnared. Proverbs 12:26 says, the righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. So we've got three little proverbs there that basically say, be careful who you choose to be friends with. If you've got people that are wise, they're going to make you more wise. If you choose people that are angry a lot of the time, they might make you more angry as well. There's this little theme of friendships are amazing, but you've got to be a bit careful. So we're going to have a couple of little dramas to help us think through a couple of little scenarios. So can I invite Katie and Joe to kind of sneak up the front for me? Thank you. No, I'll do a little bit.
Hey, Joe.
Hi.
I've got some sweets. Do you want some sweets?
Oh, yeah.
I got
thanks.
Them from the shops.
Love sweets.
Yeah, well, I say I got them from the shops. Actually, I stole them from the shops. I stole them from Tesco's.
Well, that's not right.
Well, no, it's fine. Loads of people do it, and Tesco's have loads of money, and they've got loads of sweets, so it's not doing anyone any harm, is it?
Doesn't feel right.
I think you need to calm down. Loads of other people that I've given sweets to haven't made a fuss about it. They just take them and eat them.
Okay, fair enough. I suppose if it's not doing any harm, it can't be that bad.
Yeah, exactly. Go for it.
All right.
So can't you see that actually we're really influenced? Katie here was saying, but I'm going to live this way, and this is an absolutely good thing to do. And it had nothing to do with the Bible, and her advice was not good advice. And Joe's kind of looking at that advice and going, do I follow it? Do I not follow it? What do I do? And it's so easy with our friends around us. If we've chosen to have friends that are not going to live the way that God asks us to live, to follow their ways rather than the Bible's ways. Another little sketch to kind of show that.
I was playing an online game last night and it was really annoying.
Well, it does sound annoying.
Yeah, it was. There was this person who was driving me insane, but it was okay in the end because actually I shouted at him and called him an idiot and told him to shut up. So then he left me alone.
That doesn't sound very kind.
Kind? I wasn't trying to be kind. I was just trying to play my game and win. He had no right to get in the way of my online game.
Fair enough. Sounds like it worked.
Yeah,
maybe.
It was great. Yeah? Yeah.
Maybe next time my sister's annoying me, I might shout at her and might shut her up.
Good idea. Try that.
Okay, shall we give Katie and Joe a little round of applause? Now, children, just to hear the caveat, Joe and Katie were pretending. It is terrible, terrible, terrible advice to go and shout at your siblings because you want to get something. But isn't that the point? Somebody comes up and says, I did this and it was good for me. And actually you're thinking, no, 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 that's not how God wants us to live. And so it's a good thing, isn't it, just to pause with our loving Heavenly Father's advice that actually adults, myself included, shouldn't we just consider that actually we're not immune to those things either? That the people that are around us, that we've chosen to be our good friends, maybe for really good reasons, we're not immune to the advice that they give us. It's good to pause and think, who am I listening to? Whose advice am I absorbing? Whose advice am I taking on board? And how is it affecting how I'm living? To help us think about this a little bit more, I've got this. This is my brain. If I could just have a couple of people, you just have to stand here. Charlie, you look great. Thank you very much. You can come and be my brain. Thank you very much. William, do you want to come on up? So William is going to have these bits of paper. And actually, William's a really good friend of mine. If you just come and stand over here for me, William. William, whenever I ask him for advice, he always tells me something from the Bible. He says, this is what God says about things. But then I've got another friend who's looking like not a good friend. He's George, come on up. Not looking like a good friend. You are really, George, don't worry. Come and hold this for me, okay? So this is my brain. So I go over to William, who's my friend, and I go, William, give me a piece of advice. And he whispers some advice in my ear. And do you know what goes into my brain? A piece of advice, maybe from the Bible. Okay, I listen to him again. He gives me another piece of advice from the Bible. Okay, here's my brain. All the advice going in. But do you know what? I then go over to my friend. They might be lovely, but they might not know anything about Jesus. They might not love Jesus or want me to be like Jesus. So I listen to their advice. Okay. Right, that goes into my brain. Right, and then actually I listen to them a little bit more. And I'm going to go, right, another piece of advice from George. And George is whispering to me and saying, do this or do that. Right, some more advice from George. And some more advice from George. And more advice from George. Charlie, if you hold up the bowl, can't you see how it can influence us? Maybe we still have a bit from the Bible, but lots and lots of our friends telling us things, stuff that's not coming from the Bible. And our brain might be full of stuff that is not good advice from our Heavenly Father. Shall we give our three volunteers a big round of applause? Thank you, George. If you want to go and sit down. Thank you very much, William. So we've got those two things that we've seen in Proverbs, haven't we? Those encouragements, that sweet-smelling friendship where people point us to Christ and they want us to become more Jesus-like. But that loving warning, a good time to pause. Children and adults, children at school, your friends at school encouraging you to be kind and helpful and to listen? Or are they trying to pull you in a different direction with advice? Steal stuff from the shops, it doesn't matter. We know that stuff doesn't come from what God wants us to do. Or adults, maybe there are some really lovely people in your lives, but they don't necessarily know Scripture, they don't necessarily know God, and they're giving you advice, and you just need to pause and think, is this really what God is saying on these issues? Whose advice am I listening to the most? I've been away this week, and I read this book called Reclaiming Masculinity. Guys, I'll put it in the blokes WhatsApp group because it was a tremendously encouraging read, and it just goes through different themes. And one of it, really helpfully, which I didn't know about, was friendship. So I got to read a whole chapter on being a godly friend this week, and I thought that this paragraph helped illustrate the point. Just to show you how frozen we are, by the way, even my bookmarks are frozen because everything in our house has honour on it for some reason. But this little paragraph said this. If you want to be wise, choose wise friends. If you want to be godly, choose godly friends. If you want to be obsessed with money, choose worldly friends. If you want to be a moaner, choose cynical friends. We do, to a large extent, get to choose those that we walk with. Our friends will shape our character. So here's a loving advice. Be careful who you choose to have deep friendships with. I guess that leaves us with a couple of quite tricky questions, or it did me, if you're anything like me, and you go, but what does that mean? What does that mean? So here are a couple of questions that it left me with. Does that mean I shouldn't have non-Christian friends? And another thing it left me with, does that mean I shouldn't befriend people who are really difficult? Maybe they've got a temper, or maybe they've got a clear love of money, whatever it might be. Should I not befriend people who are potentially going to have a bad influence on me? Those are tricky questions, and I've put them in our life group questions this week to wrestle on a bit more. To the first one, I don't think that it means that we shouldn't have non-Christian friends, but I do think that wisdom is there to consider who our closest friends are and the advice that we're hearing from them, and to come back and see that, is it in line with Scripture or is it not in line with what the Bible says? Is it pointing me to Jesus or is it worldly thinking? And I think I've been challenged this week to realise that I'm not immune from that. I can be influenced as well. I don't think I've landed exactly on what it looks like, and it might look different for different people, but it's that pause to pray, to think, who of my friends who don't know Christ might be influencing me more than potentially I realise? And then that second question, does it mean we shouldn't befriend people? Well, without getting into the technicalities of befriending people, being friends with people, and just being kind and generous, we know that we're called to be generous to all people, to be thoughtful to all people. Jesus himself, our greatest example, hung out with people who would have been a bad influence on them, people who stole, people who lied. So it cannot mean that we can't befriend people. Otherwise, we couldn't share the good news of the gospel with anyone. So it can't mean that. But again, that moment of caution, just to think, what is influencing me? Friends are more powerful than we might like to imagine. So children, as I'm speaking to you this morning, when you're at school, the Bible says friendships are great, but just be careful who you hang out with the most. Are they telling you things that will make you more like Jesus? Or are they telling you things that will make you less like Jesus? Parents, I think this is really tricky. I've been thinking to myself, my goodness, I'm going to tell children not to be friends with other people this week. Whoa, how does that work? I think you're in a much better place than me, rather than me giving a generic one-size-fits-all advice from the front about this. You will know your children, but maybe this is a prompt from the Lord to have conversations at home that the Bible gives that loving advice. Who are your friends at school? How much are you listening to them? Do you behave like them? And why do you behave like them? So maybe just a prompt to parents to be having those conversations at home. Well, just to jump back to Frozen again, I kind of apologise and don't apologise for this. Well, on the screen here, you can see Elsa, and Olaf is Elsa's creation. Elsa made Olaf, brought Olaf about from nothing. And we're going to look in our next section at Jesus, friend of sinners, and I think that this is a helpful way to think about it. So Elsa has made Olaf, brought him to life, given him all the good things that he needs. And children, wouldn't it be awful if Olaf turned around to Elsa and said, even though you've asked me to do something, I'm going to say no, I'm going to be rude to you, and I'm going to be nasty to you, and I'm not going to do the things that you've asked me to do. Wouldn't Elsa, who's brought him to life, have every reason to be sad, to be frustrated, to be annoyed? Well, imagine Olaf kind of goes away and thinks, oh, do you know what? Elsa has been so kind to me. She's made me. I need to go and say sorry. And so he goes over and he says sorry. Wouldn't most of us in this room, if someone had been this mean to us and we had been so kind, we would naturally go, no, no thank you. I'm not going to forgive you. I've been lovely. I've been generous. I've been thoughtful. You, Olaf, you've been mean and nasty and rude. And do you know what? In some ways, she'd have every right to say that, wouldn't she, Elsa? To go to Olaf, I'm not listening to your sorry. You've just been that horrible to me. Well, rather than doing this, imagine Elsa goes, Olaf, thank you for saying sorry. I know you mean it. I forgive you. I love you. Come and tell me how you're feeling. Let me look after you. Well, children, did you know that's how the Bible speaks about Jesus? that he's the king and he rules the world and he makes everything sustain. He keeps everything going. And we've been rude and we've been nasty and we've not done what he says. And he'd have every right to be say, I'm not going to listen to their sorry. But the Bible talks about Jesus as the friend of sinners. That word sinners just means people that haven't listened to him, haven't followed what he said. That's the wonderful thing that the Bible says. But Jesus does something similar to Elsa here if she says to Olaf, I forgive you, I love you. But it's so much better with Jesus because he's the real king, not a pretend one. He's the real creator of the universe, not just something for a story. Let's have a look at a couple of proverbs to help us with this. Jesus, friend of sinners, Proverbs 18, 24 says this. One who has an unreliable friend soon comes to ruin. If your friends are kind of there for you, but not there for you. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. The friend talked about here can be Jesus. We might have those unreliable friends that are there sometimes and not there always, but the Bible says that Jesus will stick closer than a brother. He is a friend that will never let us down. Children, did you know that Jesus is the best friend that you are ever, ever, ever going to have? You might have someone now that you think is the funniest and the greatest and the most wonderful. They might be great. They might be super. Praise God for them. But Jesus is the best, best friend that you are ever, ever going to have. Children, did you know that you can always talk to Jesus as your best friend? When you're at home, children, you can talk to Jesus. When you're at school or at nursery, you can talk to Jesus as your friend. When you're at church, right now as I'm talking, you can talk to Jesus as your friend. In the middle of the night, maybe you're a bit nervous or a bit scared or a bit worried, you can talk to Jesus as your friend. Even though we've all been like that Olaf in that scenario just came up, Jesus is friend of sinners. And how can we be assured that he's friend of sinners? Well, we'll come back to that memory verse that hopefully we've got round our heads and our hearts. Jesus says in John chapter 15, verse 12 and 13, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Jesus' friends let him down. They denied him. They said they had nothing to do with him. They misunderstood him. They fell asleep when they needed support. They were those unreliable friends. Yet Jesus laid down his life for his friends. I was looking through parts of the Bible and I saw Jesus, friend of sinners, and all these words came up that I could associate with Jesus being a friend. There's a lot there, so don't worry about absorbing it all. But as I read a few out, let's then turn to our neighbours. Children, talk to your parents. Parents, maybe explain one word on there and maybe think somewhere from Scripture that you know that that means that Jesus is this kind of friend. We see that he's kind, he's steadfast, he's patient, he's faithful, he's prayerful, he's loyal, he's sacrificial, he's willing to forgive, he's servant-hearted. Why don't we turn to each other and encourage each other about how faithful and good a friend Jesus is. Kids, chat to your parents. What might they want to share with you? So we've thought so far about the influence friends can have on us, that good influence and potentially that bad influence. We've looked at what a wonderful saviour that we've got, friend of sinners, and I'd encourage you to keep having those conversations afterwards to spur each other on, to look at him. But it's also good then to ask, what kind of friend are we? A couple of verses up there, but let me bring us back to that memory verse. John 15, 12 and 13, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down your life for one's friends. Isn't that both beautiful and challenging? It's beautiful because the sacrifice is beautiful. It's challenging because the sacrifice is difficult. Look at Jesus, that ultimate act of caring for someone else's needs above our own. But Jesus is asking us today to follow in his footsteps. And he's saying that this is where good friendship starts. It starts with that love. It starts with serving other people above yourself. So children, I wonder what that might look like at school. Is it, asking others what they want to play before what you want to play? Is it when there's one biscuit left, asking others if they want it before you go and grab it for yourself? Is it when there's a video or you're at home and there's something to watch on TV, asking your brother or your sister, or do you know what, even your mum or dad, what they want to watch before you get your choice? Thinking about others before thinking about ourselves. So I thought it was a good moment to reflect. Jonathan, you're looking strong. If you just come and hold this for me, please. Just come and hold this up for me. So often, don't we? We have a mirror, actually, if you turn sideways for me. We have a mirror to physically reflect what we're looking at. So I can look at, yep, my lovely new hairdo that Katie's just done for me. Or I can see, yeah, okay, oh, actually, I've got a bit of a dodgy mark down here. These jeans need to go in the wash. I can have a physical look in the mirror and think, okay, what's going well? What's a little bit not going so well? So I thought it would be helpful for all of us, thank you, Jonathan, you've been chatting down, for us to have a bit of a reflect. I don't mean looking in an actual mirror, but maybe look at our own behaviours and look at our own actions, our own kind of heart attitudes. And if they're in line with what Jesus is asking us to be like as friends. So again, that same list that we saw before that you were encouraging each other with as to what Jesus was like as friends. And then you see on the other side, well, the opposites of those. Actually, there are moments this week or in the last few months where I've been unkind to my friends, impatient, unreliable, flaky, meaning, well, I've listened to my friends sometimes, but not other times. So we're going to give ourselves a moment just to chat through those with each other, or if you prefer to sit quietly and reflect a little bit. And then in a moment, Beth's going to lead us. So our prayers today are going to focus on those things. We're going to say thank you for friendships that we might have. We're going to say sorry from where's actually, if we're being honest, you know what? I've let that friend down. And the Jesus-like thing to do is to go and apologise to them. Is there anyone today that you need to go and apologise to because you've let them down? That's tricky. I know that when I get asked to apologise to people, it's tricky. We need God's help, don't we? And that please as well. We're going to say, please, Lord, may I have some friends that are going to encourage me and make me look at Jesus more and more. So kids, again, adults, maybe choose one thing on there that you want to talk about with your children. Adults, again, maybe talk through things that you might think, oh, do you know what? I'd love some prayer to become more Jesus-like in this area. And then in a couple of moments, Beth's going to come and pray for us if people want to chat with each other.